Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Stevie here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to Megan Holiday Part 2. My favorite part of her interview was talking about her continued success with K-Rock 106.7, as well as talking about Billy Shears, who is Paul McCartney's look-alike replacement. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
Warriors, come out to play. Come out to play. Warriors, come out to play.
Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. From my homeboy Daniel. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome back for the second time, yeah. Megan Holiday.
Hey, so good to see you too.
It's been a while.
I know, it's been too long, dude. It's been years. I think I came through before the pandemic even happened. So I feel like it could have been 2018, I want to say, dude. You know what? Cheers. We're both sobes, ginger beer.
How much time do you got?
I'm going to have 8 years in January. I know.
So shout out to sobriety.
So shout out to sobriety. Is it? So was it off there too? Oh, I just turned it off.
Oh,
so
right, cool.
So shout out to sobriety.
Sobriety's cool.
And then shout out to our homie off the grid, Ryan. He brought you up the other day because we're in Malibu and we're trying to figure out what I want to figure out what he's gonna do, and I'm like, you should work in recovery, and he mentioned that you had an interest in working in recovery.
Yeah, I absolutely do. Well, first of all, shout out to Ryan. I just adore him so much. He is just the best person, and I watched that whole adventure that you guys went on, mm-hmm. which we definitely need to talk more about, because mm-hmm. that was so cool, and I want to go on the next adventure with you guys.
Ghost hunting?
Yeah, let's go ghost hunting. Let's find the aliens. You know what I'm saying?
You're down to do that?
I'm down, dude. I love that shit.
And I wanted to commend you. We both commended you on your necklace.
Yeah.
And what does that signify?
Okay, so this is Archangel Michael or Saint Michael. And the reason I got this, because I'm not religious. I'm a spiritual person.
Okay, I thought that was Catholic.
But the reason I got this was I actually did this cord cutting ceremony with my psychic medium, who I love. Her name's Danielle. She's awesome.
Can we give her?
Yeah.
Does she
you can find her on Instagram at Intuitive Angels. And she actually lives in Vegas. So we do it on the phone. But I was having some issues with an individual that I have to see often. and
demonic energy.
Yeah, there was definitely just some kind of weird thing. And so I asked her about this person, and she's like, you have some crazy past life stuff with this guy. And she gave me the scoop, which was like, do you want to hear it?
Yeah, okay, please, okay, please. Okay. Yeah. You, like, you caught my interest. Crazy.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. So basically, this guy, this was like back in like Egyptian times or something like that. And I guess we were both of royal descent, but I was from another country. So I was not as considered as royal as him. I was more of like under him. And so he married me as kind of like a trophy wife situation. And he would kind of use me just to like parade around. But at home, he was like super abusive and would like keep me locked up and blah, blah, blah.
So it was like Game of Thrones, kind of like how they had a...
Yeah, it was gnarly.
Like the Starks and then this other house.
Yeah.
Combining the houses.
Yeah.
Keep going.
And so she told me all this, and then she's like, listen, we can do a cord cutting ceremony. I'm like, okay. So we do this thing, and basically what I have to do is like go through my imagination of these like... cords, and it was like in my mind when I was imagining it was like tentacles that were like connecting us. It was like all gross. And then Archangel Michael came in and used a sword and freaking slashed.
He slashed
the sword or the cords. And then I did like this thing where I would like, you know, take out the tentacles and like heal the thing, whatever. So after this happened, I bought this pendant on Etsy, and I gotta tell you, the whole vibe is like totally different. It's like just everything, I don't know, the energy shifted, you
know?
Can
I take a look at it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's cool.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you, you're spiritual in that sense.
Yeah.
So this lady could tell us our past lives?
She can. She just does like general readings, but if you want to go into like past life stuff or even sort of like mediumship connecting with people from the other side, like I've connected with my friend Nick, who passed away, who, you know, died from like a fentanyl overdose, like big contributor.
Rest in peace, Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it was like such a big factor for me getting sober. But, you know, we've like connected and, you know, she would say things that only Nick would know, like, you know what
so
I mean?
There was no BS involved.
No.
It was for real.
It was for real. Yeah, she's
she
amazing.
Knew, really?
Yeah.
Now, do you think our past lives, like, dictate what lives we are in now?
I do, actually. I do.
And what gives you that impression?
I just think that I feel like somehow there's, like, different soul groups that you're kind of, like, connected with that you have to work stuff out with, to where, like, because, you know, for example, this individual who, like, by no means I am close with, but that I have to interact with on a daily basis.
You want to air him out?
Nah, really.
Okay, that's fine.
We'll just say coworker.
Okay, that's
we'll say
fine.
Coworker.
We'll
leave it at that.
Anonymous.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I don't have any ties to this person really, but someone I have to interact with. And it's like, and then you find out you have all this like crazy past life stuff with them. So I just feel like you have to kind of like work all that stuff out in each life so that you can clear that karma, you know?
So, because when we die in this life, we're going to come back as there's going to be a memory wipe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally.
Because
like
I believe.
Black. Flash.
Because,
you know?
I believe aliens have the technology to wipe your memory.
Yeah.
And I think souls are involved with the, you know, the aliens, I believe, this is just my hypothesis.
Yeah.
They're certain entity groups, alien entity groups are intrigued with our souls.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanna, you know, I think they're trying to figuring out how to capture when we die. Trying to figure out how to capture our soul somehow.
Ooh, that's interesting. That is really interesting.
And I think that maybe somehow it recycles and memory wipe, and then, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's why you said there's past lives, I'm sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
but you want to know what? I really don't want to do another life again. My feeling is like, which I've said, I'm like, I feel like this is my last life, and I've always said this.
How do we do it?
I don't know, but I think here's what it is. We have to just be really good people. We have to try to like mend relationships. You know, like we make amends with people and stuff.
Yeah,
it's like,
I think
that we have to like do that as much as possible. So there's just no bad juju when we leave this life, if possible. And maybe, yeah. Why does that hurt you? Why?
Because it makes me think of my father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your dad passed away, right?
Yeah. 3 years ago. Yeah. And several years ago. And I think he's back. He might have recycled.
Really?
Yeah. Because there was a lot of domestic violence. And, you know, he was an alcoholic. He died in, you know,
with
the disease of alcoholism.
Uh-huh.
And because you're saying that. And I'm with you. I mm-hmm. don't want to.
Yeah.
I'm done.
I'm done, too.
I'm done.
Yeah, me too.
I don't want to come back.
Yeah.
I'd rather be. If I were to come back, I'd rather, like.
Be like a lizard.
At least,
or
no, a bird.
A bird.
Or at least where I could fly.
Yeah,
or
yeah,
something.
Okay, that's good.
And
yeah.
then I could die, or another bigger bird could kill
yeah,
me.
Totally.
And then, you know.
And it's a shorter lifespan.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, this is too long for me.
How long do you want to live?
Oh, God. I honestly don't. I mean, look, I think I'd be happy to live somewhere in my 80s if I'm in good condition. Because here's why. If you die too young, then the people who know and love you, they're going to be like, oh, they died so young. And like, you don't want to, you know, you don't want to leave these other people
yeah.
feeling sad. But if you're past 80, then I think people are kind of like, they lived a good life, like, you know, and we were lucky to have them as long as we did. That's kind of why.
Mm.
But, you know, I think for people like you and I, since we're kind of like down to be like done with all this, I feel like we're going to live.
I know.
Like we're going to live to like 103, bro.
How do you know that? I feel
know,
that, too.
I know.
You know, they have this
I
situation,
yeah,
and
I
don't want to.
I know.
You know, I was just watching. I don't know why this popped up on my algorithm, but remember River Phoenix?
Oh, I'm obsessed. Obsessed.
So it popped up on my algorithm, and I couldn't sleep, and I watched this documentary. Mm-hmm. I didn't know, A, that he died off Sunset Boulevard.
Oh, you didn't? Yeah,
at the Viper Room.
Yeah.
And can we talk
brother.
A little bit about that?
Yeah.
Because I didn't know that Joaquin mm-hmm. was actually there, and Joaquin's the one that made the call.
Yeah.
And I know that definitely.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, totally.
Because, I mean, I'm not saying, because they're both very, very talented,
mm-hmm.
but I'm saying, you know, Joaquin looked up to River.
Oh, big time. Yeah.
That's like if my
yeah.
brother died, you know,
I know.
I can't even imagine
no,
that.
No, no.
So, are you're obsessed with that story?
I am just obsessed with River Phoenix. Like, I remember seeing Stand By Me when I was, like, really young and being, like, obsessed with him.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he's probably one of the best looking people I've ever seen.
You know what? I was looking at his face,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have a girlfriend. But I paused it, and dude, he was chiseled.
Yeah, he was
like his side profile, like
yeah,
this
uh-huh.
right here, and
yep.
his nose.
Yeah,
he was almost a combination of like Jude Law and Leo, but like fused into one face.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Joaquin's handsome too in his own
way.
Oh
yeah.
But
he's just so talented. And River was like, he was a musician, and I think he was a deep, like he really cared about. Things like he cared about animals and the environment. Like he came from kind of like a hippy dippy
yeah.
family.
And then
you know?
they're part of this religious group, right? Kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, I feel like it was more like a spiritual thing.
Yeah,
but I'm not 100% sure on it, but yeah.
And then one thing that caught my attention because I know there might be a conspiracy, but in this documentary, some musician guy handed him this cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
With
like in the glass in the drink,
yeah.
And I know,
then,
and I was surprised that it was like in a drink. That's where I was like, what?
Yeah,
so
it because we know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, kind of like you know, like that takes effort to do something like that. It's not like here's
right.
a joint, they had to like extract this stuff, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I know, was it a speedball that they
that's
put
what I'm
in
thinking.
The drink?
Yeah,
yeah,
I think it was a combination of heroin and cocaine, yeah, it was
yeah.
like something like that,
and then plus whatever he was already on that night. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
right.
Which he was probably already doing stuff, like drinking at least, and probably doing some uppers. Because, you know, he liked to, he basically became a drug addict. Like, you know, he
was it bad?
I think it was pretty bad. And he would clean up for a bit when he would do movies and stuff. And
yeah.
then I think he would go down that dark road again. Like, there's a weird interview, which may have been in the documentary, where he has sunglasses on. And you can just tell he's fucked up. And he's really pissed off at the world. And, you know, I think
yeah.
it just, you know, he just didn't handle the fame super well, which it's
how
so hard.
How do you prepare for something like
that? I don't know that.
That
you can.
Yeah.
And he was a big star. Like,
he
really
was
going to
be like James
yeah.
Dean,
yes.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yep. Absolutely.
Big.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
How old was he when he passed?
God, I don't know. I don't think he was part of that 27 club.
Chelsea, can you look that up real quick?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm thinking 27.
Was it
27? I'm guessing.
Yeah,
I kind of
think it might have been. He was young, though. Yeah.
And then what about Kirk?
23. Oh, my God.
Oh, he was a young buck.
That's horrible. Yeah.
To think.
And everything that he accomplished up to that point, like.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? So many movies he put out, and, like, he was just.
Yeah.
Doing so
Did you
well.
See My Own Private Idaho?
Yeah. Yeah. That movie's a trip.
And that's a Gus Van Sant.
Yeah,
yeah. Keanu.
Uh-huh.
Can you describe to the viewers what that movie was kind of about, like, briefly?
Well, here's my memory of it. I watched it many, many years ago. But mm-hmm. I can tell you that River Phoenix's character had narcolepsy.
Mm-hmm.
So he would pass out at strange places. And his buddy, Keanu Reeves, would kind of look after him, take care of him. And they were basically male prostitutes, right? Like male.
They were males of the night.
Males of the night. Yeah.
Not ladies of the night.
Yeah,
males of the night.
And that's pretty much all I can remember.
There are some weird aspects of that movie. Remember that
yeah.
one man that picked River, and he was obsessed with being clean.
Oh yeah, and the gloves.
Yeah,
were there gloves? Yeah, River.
Like,
yeah,
yeah, that
uh-huh.
was so.
Oh
weird.
Yeah, yeah. There were some weird scenes.
So
that.
Definitely, check that movie out.
Mm-hmm. And then was River Phoenix in love with Keanu Reeves? Wasn't that kind of what it was? And then Keanu had like a girlfriend though.
Yeah, they had like a bromance, and this was
yeah.
before like Brokeback Mountain days.
Yeah, yeah.
This was like back. Yeah, this is like pre
Brokeback
Mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it didn't bother me, though, because they're both so, I don't know, there's, because, you know, Keanu's,
right? Oh, yeah.
And I heard Keanu's, like, actually, like, a normal guy,
yeah.
too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I hear the most wonderful things about that man.
Me, too.
You know? And I'm
yeah.
just like, oh, I want to meet him.
I heard he rides the subway.
Yeah, I know. I see all that stuff on Instagram.
Yeah.
You know? And then it's like he became a meme. Do you know where he was like sitting outside of a bakery or something eating
oh, really?
A sandwich, and it
yeah.
like became this whole meme of like sad Keanu.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But really,
yeah, yeah.
he was just like he like was on a talk show, and he's like, I was just hungry, and I went in and I got
yeah.
a sandwich. He was just
he
like,
seems like
chilling,
he could...
like eating a sandwich, like he's
and he's a musician, right? Like I
yeah, he's
didn't he just perform
Dog
at
Star.
Amoeba? Yeah,
yeah. Dog Star is back.
I think they performed at Amoeba.
They did, and then I think they did a couple shows at Troubadour or the Roxy
recently.
Yeah,
right?
Recently.
Yeah,
yeah. And they're playing some shows. Like they put out, I think, a couple new songs at least, and they're yeah they're gonna be playing shows. So
what kind of music, like, are you still involved with music? Because last time you were here we kind of already went through the radio
yeah
days
yeah, yeah yeah. I mean,
and
I still work yeah I still work in at K-Rock, you know, still on K-Rock
90,
every day 2 to 6 p.m.
And then say the diet, what, 90?
Oh, 106.7.
Oh, 106.7.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And is there a specific show that, what
so
kind of music? Alternative?
It's all, yeah, it's pretty much anytime you're listening to like mainstream radio now, you're just hearing a mix of the same song. So yeah, it's just alternative rock from, you know, the 90s. Thousands and today, you know.
Do you play Taylor Swift at all?
No. It's all alternative rock.
Okay,
yeah, yeah,
I'm sorry,
yeah,
I didn't
yeah,
mean to
no.
offend you.
No,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you remember a guy named Rodney Bingenheimer?
Of course,
yeah.
Yeah,
Rodney on the Rocks.
Actually, yeah, I actually got to work with Rodney like very briefly. And I remember I was like super excited to meet him and everything. Mm-hmm. And then it was definitely really sad when he was kind of like let go. But Rodney is on Sirius XM.
Is he really?
Yeah, so he still has his show.
Can you explain how big of an icon he was? Like,
there's a
documentary called Mayor of Sunset Strip.
Yes, Mayor of Sunset Strip, yeah,
so
which is really good. I don't even know how long he was on K-Rock, but I would say he was maybe the longest running jock, possibly.
He broke bands,
and he was on late at night. So it would be, you know, Rodney on the Rock, and he would play everything and anything, stuff that wasn't even
the Ramones,
out yet. Yep.
David Bowie demos, right?
Oh, yeah. He kind of like handed a lot of bands their careers in a lot of ways. And he, you know, this was at a time when DJs got to actually pick their own music. You know what I mean?
Now it's programming.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. So, and he's just like this really sweet, like little, you know, he doesn't have a radio voice. And if you used to listen to Kevin and Bean in the morning, they would always, you know, make fun of him, make fun of his little voice and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's like, but in a way, it's like, I love that kind of banter in a way, because it would make people aware of Rodney, you know. And he was just a total legend. And I remember he would walk into the station, because I used to work at night,
mm-hmm.
and he would come on after me, and he would walk into the station with his little crates of CDs, like a bunch of crates with all these CDs stacked up. You know, he was still just picking whatever he wanted to play.
He was a small guy.
Yeah, small guy.
Wasn't he like the double of the guy from the Monkees?
And he
was down with Sonny and Cher,
took him in.
Well, that documentary.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
They took him in. That's right.
So he was in all these music videos back in the day, like Mamas and the Papas.
Oh.
And he was like Sonny and Cher took him in. And then he was the body double of like the dude from the Monkees.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Dude, that documentary is one of the best documentaries I've seen.
It's really good. Yeah. I haven't watched it for a long time, so there's stuff that I've definitely forgotten about. But what a crazy life.
What happened. It's so sad.
I know. Well, even now, it's like, honestly, I feel like there should be a GoFundMe started for him, because
he should be.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I think even still, it's a struggle. You know what I mean?
They did him wrong, kinda.
And
his homeboy like copped his hustle.
Yeah.
Started a show like to compete with his show,
mm-hmm.
and he's the guy that like discovered this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is he alive?
Oh yeah, he lives in Hollywood.
Really?
Yeah, he goes to Cantor's Deli all the time. And he works at Sirius.
Well,
yeah.
Good. Well, at least he's working.
Yeah, he's working.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just hard to say how much money anybody makes in this industry anymore. You know what I mean? Like, what you can really survive off of, I guess, you know?
Is it, like, just advertisers? There's got to be advertisers and, like,
mid-rolls. I don't know how it works at Sirius. I never have worked there, so I don't know, like, what it's like.
He's got to make some kind of...
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But how long you been at K-Rock?
My sobriety date's January 13th. And then I started working at K-Rock in like the March after I got sober. So it'll be 8 years for me in March that I've been at K-Rock, which is really a trip. It doesn't feel like that, you know.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy. Is it still satisfying, like just, you know, like just being going there and playing the music? And
yeah, I mean, I think with any job that you do repeatedly, it ebbs and flows. It's like sometimes you are super into it and you're having a good time, da da da, you're in the flow, and then other times you're just kind of like, oh, it's Groundhog Day, I'm bored, like, you know. But I think at the end of the day, when I break it down, I'm just like, my job is to just suit up and show up, play songs, talk in between them, talk to listeners on the phone, hook up people with tickets, you know,
mm-hmm.
be grateful for this job that people would kill for. You know what I mean?
Do you think your sobriety has helped you in the workplace? Like being of service and
yeah.
like showing up on time?
Oh, yeah. Totally.
So it's completely like kept you on the straight and narrow?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's changed everything, you know, because I had lost my career, you know, in radio previously from my drinking and using.
Addiction, yeah.
And I remember like pulling in to the parking structure 2 minutes before I was supposed to be on the air. It was, you know, I had no level of respect for what I was doing, you know, before that time.
So you took it for granted.
Yeah, it was. I think I just took everything for granted. I think I just didn't give a fuck about anybody or anything. I was just doing what I was doing, and that was it. You know.
Yeah. Would you be open to like I mentioned before? Because mm-hmm. I was thinking about our homie Ryan.
Yeah, yeah. I forgot to tell you.
Because I was like, we're driving. I go because we're trying to figure out what his next move is. I'm like, dude, you should work in recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentioned you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why don't you? Because you have like. Kind of, you know, you could you have like, you know, contacts right within the sober.
Yeah,
I
definitely think I know a lot of people within the recovery community and stuff. And I did found a nonprofit this year.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah.
What's the name of it?
It's not launched like whatsoever. It's called Life of the Party. And basically it's Narcan distribution on the level of, you know, being out at festivals and different large gathering and events of being able to just get Narcan out into the world. And we're actually doing something right now with USC. I don't know how much I can even talk about this, but they're kind of going to help us,
okay,
you know, in figuring some things
out,
which is great.
Yeah.
And I don't know where it's going to go. The whole thing came together in such a crazy way. I never really thought I was ever going to start a nonprofit, but I, like I said earlier, you know, with my buddy Nick dying from fentanyl, the first person I knew who ever died from it, you know, and then now seeing this massive epidemic that's going on, and it's just horrible.
It's crazy.
I mean, and you have like, you know, a 15-year-old kid just, you know, is experimenting and takes a Xanax for the first time or a Vicodin, and they don't know that it's a pressed pill, and they're gone. And so it's like, this is not just affecting addicts, this is affecting everybody.
Oh yeah.
You know, and people should be able to experiment with drugs. They should be able to do that. There's nothing wrong with doing that, you know. And so I just think the fact that there's not safe ways to use drugs anymore is just insane. And
yeah,
you know, it's
because it could be in a pill form, it could be in
your coke, your meth. I mean, anything.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, my
like
homie almost OD'd,
you know?
On it. He was on here, my homie Sean, and it was, you know, I don't know how like detailed we got into it, but yeah, he almost straight up OD'd on that.
Oh my god. And, like, how did he get out? What happened?
Because he got so pissed. What saved him is, I think, his anger, because he was so mad at the dude that burned him.
Oh.
That his adrenaline was, you know, you know, but he was not, you know. Because once I can only, I'm just kind of, I'm just guessing, like, mm-hmm. when you start nodding off, and I think once you go to sleep, you're done.
Yeah,
and
well, because you just completely stop breathing. Yeah.
His adrenaline was competing,
oh,
like,
my God.
Against that, because he was like, I want to get this fool, you know, I want to get this dude, I want to get this dude. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, yeah,
well, that's so lucky.
Yeah.
You know, thank God. But it's another reason why it's like, we have to normalize people just having Narcan everywhere, have it in your house, like, got to be in your, you know, just have it in your medicine cabinet in your car. Like, people just need to like have it around, because say your friend was still alert enough, but he knew he kept nodding out or whatever.
Oh,
he could like hit himself with Narcan and know for sure he was gonna be okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
he dodged a bullet that night.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's and just that whole epidemic. It's just like the way it got into the States, and like, you know.
Oh yeah.
I know. I don't want to get into conspiracy. You know.
Yeah. I know. I'm
and all
you.
That.
I
but,
know. But
yeah.
But I know.
But there is.
Yeah.
You know. There is like, I guess, you know, like, you know, people's estimation on how it got over
mm-hmm.
here. But going back to like spirituality and like past lives, does that ward off like bad energy or like evil spirits? Do you believe in any of that stuff?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Like demonic stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there are a lot of energies and entities within our world. And I think it's really important like, you know, I like to meditate, and when I do, I try to imagine like a shield of white light energy, just
to protect
like
you.
To protect me, you know, mm-hmm. because you just don't know. And if you think about it, everything in life is vibes, you know. You walk Ooh. Into a room and it's a different vibe, and you go into a grocery store and it's a different vibe, and you know, it's like people act like everything in life comes from like speaking words to other people, but that's really only like 5% of what is being communicated is through words. Like there's like body language, there's energy, and you can feel it when someone has bad energy towards you. Like I was saying, like whether it's with coworkers or, you know, like if something's going on with a friend of yours, and you can feel it. You know, and it's like something that'll be tugging at you. You mm-hmm. know, when you walk into a room and you feel like, oh, this person hates me. Oh my God, like I gotta get away from here. You know, and I think that people discount that a lot.
Yeah.
So it's like everything is energy because of quantum physics anyways.
Yeah, for sure. And like a lot of going back to the aliens and stuff, a lot of them don't even communicate. They, you know,
yeah.
telepathy.
Yeah.
They don't even have to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you one instance where I went to the I had a pink eye and I needed to get drops. And the dude there. I'm not going to air him out.
Okay.
But you know what he did? Like, because I had my prescription and I gave it to him. And, you know, it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
But he was like, oh, this is not in our system. Like, he was like.
It's like fucking with you.
Yeah. Because then I went to the other pharmacy there and they got, you know, they're like, yeah, this is a common thing. But then I got, it's like every time I go to the grocery store now, I see him.
Oh.
And it's like, I just that inner.
Weird vibe.
Yeah, because I could tell that, you know, we're not on the same, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
But he did I'm like, I don't want to make it a conspiracy, but I'm just saying I could feel that energy mm-hmm. like, oh, this fool don't like me.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I want to make it right, but it's just like there's something. You know how with some people you just don't. There's something that
1,000%.
You're not clicking with them. But in our thing, what we're trying to, you know, with through our program, we got to try to like clean our side of the street. Mm-hmm. And I try, but there's a part of me that still. I don't like him.
Yeah, well, in that situation, though, what is your side of the street to keep clean? You haven't done anything wrong.
I mean, dude, my eyes, they're puffy.
Yeah. You had pink eye. You wanted your prescription. I mean, you didn't do anything wrong. So, but here's the other thing that we have to, we have to remember. It's like with the four agreements, you know, like, don't take anything personally.
Right.
And that's hard, dude.
Go over those agreements again. I remember the book and everything.
Okay, so it's, always do your best. Uh-huh. Don't take anything personally. Uh-huh. You might have to look.
Can you look up the four agreements?
Be impeccable with your word. And what they mean with it being impeccable with your word, it's not like saying I'm going to be where I tell you I'm going to be. It's like saying that your words cast spells. So the way that you talk about yourself, you know, like you don't want to just be like, oh, I'm such an idiot. Like you don't want to talk like that. You want to be really impeccable with everything that you say.
But the word, that thing that caught my attention mm-hmm. is
casting spells.
Because words are powerful.
Yeah.
Like there's.
Well, there's always like
energy
spelling,
behind it.
Right? Casting spells. It's like spelling, you
know? Yeah.
So.
Even like, you know how a lot of like heavy metal bands, they would do things backwards
uh-huh.
and they would say, you know, you hear Satan
yes.
or something. So there's stuff like where you could cast like verbal sigils to people or.
Yeah.
That's why lyrics are kind of.
Yeah.
Like even the Beatles did some, they had some weird things going on with their music. Back,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that they were putting any subliminal messages in there.
Yeah. But they, me and Mariah were talking on Sgt. Pepper's,
mm-hmm.
Aleister Crowley's on their cover.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's so many weird people on
and
that.
And that,
cover.
Like, that's not just a coincidence.
Mm.
I mean, one of them dudes was like, I don't know which one of them, but mm-hmm. you know they probably got that knowledge.
Yeah, I also just feel like the Beatles like to do a lot of things for shock value, though.
Really?
I really do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I just can't see them dabbling in that dark stuff. The only one I could see doing that would be John. John Lennon.
I think it was John. Know? I think it was John.
Yeah. He's the only one that would be interested, I think, in that kind of thing,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he was the weirdo. He was kind of a weird one.
Yeah, he was curious. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, George was more curious in the Eastern philosophies. And I'm obsessed with George Harrison right now.
Why is that?
You got to listen to his album, All Things Must Pass.
Yeah.
Because that album has, like, gotten me through the last, like, handful of years. Because it's just, like, all things must pass, you know? And that song is, like, it's so beautiful.
What
know?
About Paul?
I like Paul.
There's a conspiracy about him.
I know.
Okay, so I don't want to make this a conspiracy. But dude, I was
Let's
on Instagram.
Okay, wait, really quick. What's the fourth agreement? What's the fourth?
Always do your best.
No, I said that one. Don't make assumptions. Yeah, see? And that, so really quick, that ties in with, like, we can't just assume that, you know, that guy hates you. And if he does hate you, well, who gives a shit?
You're right.
You bring up something to him that bothers him, and that's his fucking problem.
You know what? I'll be.
You know, you know what you do when next time you see him? Hey, man, how you doing?
No, I don't do
you
that.
You can't do that?
No,
oh man,
I do. I cast spells too.
You do? Yeah. So yeah. You're talking shit in your mind.
I do.
Yeah. I get it.
I do. I say
I
things under my breath.
You do.
Yeah. Shit. I shouldn't do that, though.
Yeah, well, it's just...
You know what? I apologize.
Here's why.
That's not
it's
right.
Just a waste of your energy.
Yeah, you're right.
It's like, fuck him. Kill him with kindness.
Yeah.
Like, hey, guy. You know? Hey, right. Buddy. You know?
Or maybe I'll bring him a gift or something.
Bring him on the podcast and hash it out.
Maybe.
No.
Maybe. But, okay, because I don't want to let this go as far as Paul.
No, okay.
So, according to... I saw something where...
I watched the whole documentary.
Oh, you did? Okay, where there's a lookalike. He's got a doppelganger.
Yeah.
Paul McCartney really died, according to this conspiracy theory,
yes.
On this certain date.
Yep.
And there's a lookalike that's been posing as Paul McCartney the
ever
whole time.
Since.
And what's his name? Can you look
that
up?
Oh, yeah. It's in the song. Oh, my God. I can't believe I don't know this.
But he looks exactly like him.
Yeah, I know.
And I heard that because I kind of believe in clone, like there's like cloning centers too, you know, because I've seen those conspiracies.
William Campbell or
Billy Shears. Yeah, Billy Shears.
So, so they're saying that Paul really died and the
guy
that took his spot is really Billy Shears.
But what's so hard for me to believe about that is like, did Billy Shears, was he just a really gifted musician as well? I mean.
No, because there's a thing I think on They're trying to they have these vocal stems where now they're trying to, I think it's on like iTunes. They're like at this documentary where they're trying to do this new song with Paul's old vocals. So that
makes
sense because Shears doesn't have to go in the vocal booth because they have Paul's old like stems.
No, but think about all the music that Paul has made over the years. I mean, you know, because the real Paul McCartney died, that was like,
when was that?
Like 68 or 60, you know, early 60s. And then think about solo Paul McCartney. I mean, he's still touring, you know? So
is he?
Yeah.
So Billy's doing it?
I don't know.
With the vocal coach?
Did he learn to play all these instruments then? You know?
Yeah, but with technology.
No, he's really.
Milli Vanilli literally had a career with. Remember, until the thing skipped, the CDR skipped.
Can you believe the CD? My number.
Yeah.
I feel so bad. It's so funny. I just watched that the
other
day.
That's a concert, and they were just lip. They're,
I know.
Yeah,
I'm
so
thinking.
You're saying, yeah, you can get
so
away with it.
They made so many people happy, you know? Yeah. I don't know. I used to really kind of buy into the Billy Shears, like, conspiracy thing.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I mean, the only thing that I could think of is that Billy Shears just happened to be a really great musician and songwriter.
Yeah.
But for that to be maintained for so long.
Yeah.
Just seems so difficult, you know? And I don't know.
Do you think he's getting paid good money? You got it. I mean, because that's an investment.
Whether it's Billy Shears or Paul McCartney, that fool is rich as fuck.
So he's chilling.
He's chilling.
God, forever. I wish I could have a gig like that.
I mean, his great-great-grandchildren will be chilling. Set. Yeah.
So did you hear about the one with, like, not Rihanna. Oh, Eminem. There's a thing about Eminem, too, they have, like...
Don't even tell me yet.
Yeah.
Because to me, like... I love Eminem.
But I do too. Shout out to Eminem.
Yeah, Eminem's the shit. Yeah, sobriety too. Yeah, but like, recovery. His face looks different to me now.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, it doesn't look like him at all
That's
anymore.
That's what I'm saying. There's a conspiracy
where Eminem?
His whatever the clone took his spot.
Okay.
And
Eminem's hiding out. Yeah. Chilling. Okay.
Yeah. Can I tell you even a worse conspiracy?
Yes.
Because me and Ryan were talking about this driving to Topanga. I believe the world ended in, you know, when the Mayan calendar, mm-hmm. like 2012.
2012, yeah.
I think something happened.
Okay.
With the Mandela effect.
I
think that what happened is the world really ended. And we got shifted to another
timeline. Okay.
And we just got jumped to another timeline. Mm-hmm. That's why it's like all.
But then why aren't we on the timeline with the real Eminem?
Well, I think with that stuff, with the cloning centers and stuff, I think that. It's so, like, and I think that aliens are involved with that, too, with the technology and, the tubes and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know how a lot of alien greys, they'll abduct cows and humans.
Okay.
And because they could wipe out your memory, too.
Yeah, totally.
And they could easily duplicate a human. And you know what I mean?
Probably, yeah.
Because that would suck if I were to die and they're like, oh, you got to come back and it's just me again. I'm like, well, at least can I pick a different...
Well, no, it wouldn't just be you again. It'd be a whole new...
But I wouldn't want my consciousness put in a...
Well, it will be, but you'll still be wiped, but it'll be your consciousness in there. Because, like, your whole consciousness, it is in there. But you have very limited capacity to reach all of it, you know?
So go back to Eminem's facial structure.
Okay, and here's the other thing, is that Eminem really can't do it like he did. You know
what
I'm saying?
With his rapping and stuff?
Yeah, and even with performing live, I feel like he's so uncomfortable doing it, and I think he's had to, like, kind of lip sync through some things. But also, that can just happen from getting older and from not being young and fucked up and kind of losing your confidence in a way.
And
the face thing.
But how could the doppelganger learn how to rap like Eminem?
But if it's a clone.
Oh, because that's the alien technology can implant those raps into his head.
I guess. Because
I think even Rap God, mm-hmm. I think there's a meaning behind that. Well, maybe like he is a rap, like his doppelganger is kind of like a rap god because with the alien stuff mm-hmm. in him now, where he could just conjure up these like multi-syllabic raps and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe.
And then now with even like with what's that, Chad, whatever, where they could duplicate your voice.
Like AI.
And the AI. Uh-huh. Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm.
They have so many sound bites of Eminem anyway, and so they could put those vocal things in the robot.
Yeah.
Is whatever.
But is it a robot? If it's a clone, then it's a
biological
human.
Entity.
So it's like that biological entity could have the same ability of rapping because if it's an exact clone,
what are you saying? So are you saying that it could possibly be a clone like Blade Runner, like the...
Look, I feel like
synthetics
anyone that may be watching this, maybe like Megan Holliday or a kook, whatever, I don't care. But anything's possible to me.
Me too.
And since, you know, I did notice, like, I've literally, like, looked, zoomed in on pictures of Eminem. But then I also have to be like, okay, rationality. Maybe he got some work done. Maybe he's just aging. And this is how he's aged, you know?
So, Em, to clear this up, hit me up on my IG.
Shit, dude. Marshall Mathers LP for life.
Clear it up here on the Stevie Weeby Show. Let's talk it out.
Yeah, let's hash it out.
We'll go through your
whole... I'll be here, too. I won't even be on the show. I'll be
Em, holler at me.
Yeah.
We're a fan of your work.
Dude, I love Eminem.
I do, too.
Like, when I need to get into kind of just like a mode.
Yeah.
Like, I will throw on Eminem. But what I really like to throw on is the Chronic 2001.
Oh, yeah.
That's
So shout out to Dr. Dre.
Dude. Okay, but also hang on, Dr. Dre.
What if he's
not gonna
what
like
if he's
this.
A clone too?
Well, dude, how come?
Because he's looking different too.
I know, but how come he and how come he can't fucking make shit anymore either?
Because
did you watch the Defiant ones?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I saw maybe the first part of the series.
So like, there is a part in that where he like sits down to kind of like try to like write like flow and like do some shit, and it's like, and he can't. Like, he doesn't
have... Who, Dre?
Yeah, Dre doesn't have... He doesn't have it anymore, you know? But I know that that also can just happen as you get older, you know? You just... Mm. You don't have that same spark. It's like, certain things just happen in a time, you know? I don't know.
It's hard to get up when you have satin sheets, you know?
Yeah, I'll say.
He's not at the Rocky Balboa eating egg yolk phase.
Can I just tell you right now?
Yeah.
I just watched Rocky Balboa for the first time 2 nights ago.
What'd you think about it? Did you get
How
emotional?
How the fuck are you bringing that up right now? Because you want to know why?
Yeah. What's your sign then?
Libra.
Okay, we're both Virgos in here.
Oh, I love Virgos. Virgos and Libras are
Yeah. Okay.
We're cool. Don't worry. We're cool.
So we didn't mean to scare you with the conspiracy theories.
Okay, wait. But, Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rocky Balboa. I really the scene that really kind of resonated with me is when he got a chance for the prize fight with Apollo Creed, and they gave him a shot, and because Mickey was getting older, and then he started, because they treated him bad at the gym, mm-hmm. remember?
Yeah, yeah.
And remember, they cleared out his locker, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but then...
Well, that's the original Rocky, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But then when, remember, Mickey goes to his apartment?
Yeah, yeah,
and
yes.
Then that scene.
Yes.
I got emotional.
Uh-huh.
Because that's like, well, where were you back then? Now you want to mess? Now you want to fuck with me because I'm getting the shot?
Yeah. Well, and did you watch the Sly documentary recently?
Mm-mm.
Oh, you gotta watch it because they talk about that exact scene.
What do you mean Sly and the Family Stone?
No, Sylvester Stallone. That's his nickname. Sly.
Oh, Sly.
Yeah,
Sly Stallone.
Yeah. So there's a new documentary that came out, and he's talking about that exact scene. And originally, in that scene, it was like, I don't think that there was going to be a redemption. It was like, he was just going to be pissed at Mickey, you know, like, fuck you. You didn't help me before. But he said what the redemption was is that he then realized, no, like, I got to do the right thing. And he ran downstairs and he ran after Mickey, you know, and he grabs him.
Oh, at the end of the scene.
At the end of the scene.
When it cuts away.
Yeah, you're right.
And it was like...
Talk about like keeping your side, like taking the high road, really, you know.
You know what I like about that scene, because there's a time lapse where he doesn't do it right away. He's yelling. He's still yelling and venting in his apartment.
Yeah, totally. As Mickey's going down the stairs.
Yeah, because Mickey has his head down.
Yeah.
And then you're right. Mm-hmm. That hits home.
And then he goes after him, and he's like, "No, it's okay."
And then he
like,
hugs him.
I forgive
him.
You.
Yeah, he
like,
hugs him.
Train me, you know.
God, there's something that was so nostalgic and great about those first. I like the first three or four Rockies.
So you know what's funny? I can't even believe it. You're bringing all this up because I was like telling my boyfriend like a month ago, I'm like, dude, I'm like, I've never seen Rocky.
Ooh.
I know. I was like, I've never seen
it. You haven't seen two yet?
Dude, I just watched the first one about a month ago.
You
and then we
see
just
two.
Watched Rocky Balboa like 2 nights ago.
Oh, that's like 5 or 6.
Yeah, I know,
it?
But
yeah.
It was okay to skip ahead.
Yeah, it's fine. But watch 2.
I will. I mean, I'm hooked now. I love it. I absolutely love these movies. They're incredible.
Yeah, because one, he's an unknown.
Uh huh.
You know, just a guy at the gym.
Right.
And but then 2, it's almost like because Apollo's kind of pride gets in the way, like. Because he knows, like, did I really win that fight?
Oh, yeah. So he wants to make sure.
Yeah. This one's going to be
the real fight.
Totally. So I think actually 1 and 2 are the bangers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I got to
watch
2.
That's so weird. So what made you want to, just out of nowhere, you want to see Rocky?
Yeah. Because I watched the Sly documentary. And I'm like, I can't believe I never watched Rocky. I know, and directed.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
He's a very talented guy.
Well, and you want to know what? You know how he talks all like
Adrian.
He has that disability from birth. It's a fucking disability. Like, his mom went into labor when she was on the bus or something. The way he talks, it was from being paralyzed right there. So this whole time, everyone's making fun of him, and he was like born with this, thing. Like,
did you see First Blood? Rambo First Blood.
I've never seen any Rambos.
You haven't.
No.
You haven't seen Rambo First Blood?
Never seen Rambo.
If you like Rocky, you have to watch First Blood.
Okay.
It's a must. It's probably one of my all-time favorite movies of all time.
Oh, my God.
Of all time.
Okay. I'm internalizing that deeply. Okay.
Do you know some of those movies where a decade could go by, a week could go by, and you could just put it on?
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
It's like time never passed.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's one of those movies.
Okay.
Where you could just... There's only a few of those.
Yes.
Like the original Karate Kid's one of them for me. Rambo First Blood is one of them. Like Goodfellas is one of them.
Yeah, totally.
Maybe the first half of Saving Private Ryan is one of them. There's certain ones. No Country for Old Men is one of them.
Yeah.
There's certain ones.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of them.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's like they're timeless.
Yeah.
I don't know what I think. Okay, because in my family it was like my mom will never see Rocky in her entire life.
Why?
Do you know what I'm saying? She's just not like my mom or dad. Just they'll never see those movies ever.
But that's her era.
Yeah, but she's just not interested. But she's just not interested in that kinds of things. So there were a lot of movies that I missed out on because they never entered our home. You know what I'm saying? So, but now I get to discover them.
What are some of your favorite movie, like the ones that are classic in your mind?
Oh man, so I remember like it was like the movies that were coming into my house were like. You know, like Forrest Gump. You know what I mean?
So,
I'm not gonna lie,
dude. That's a good movie.
I'm somewhere where only cable is available. Okay. I'm in a hotel and there's only cable available, and I'm scrolling through, and Forrest Gump is on. I'm gonna leave it on the channel.
Are you a Tom Hanks fan?
I am. I like him.
There's a conspiracy about Tom Hanks, too.
I know it.
Okay, so one last one.
Okay.
So there's one where, according to this conspiracy, he died, too.
He died, too? I don't know this one.
I think so.
He didn't die. This is like
he was in charge. He's a part of this group where...
The pedophilia...
Kind of.
Should I not
maybe
say it? Oh, sex trafficking, what is it?
Well, he was a part of this group where this one guy knew about them and he was a part of like getting rid of this person or something like that.
Okay.
I don't want to spread disinformation. Look, but that's probably not true.
We are talking about conspiracy theories that exist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There was something weird also during with the COVID thing, him being in Australia. I remember that being tied in as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of think in some ways these conspiracy theories are just kind of fun to rattle around in your brain.
Yeah, maybe he's.
But we just. I
don't want to believe it because Tom Hanks.
I don't want to believe it either.
Yeah,
because
I grew up with Tom Hanks. I don't want to, Splash, Big, Saving Private Ryan.
Can I throw one in there?
Yeah.
That Thing You Do.
I haven't seen that one.
Girl, have you?
What?
You guys, come on.
When was that released?
Okay, it came out in the 90s, and it was like a Tom Hanks kind of brainchild. Like, it's basically about a band who form. Yeah. And the soundtrack, and the song, and they come together as a band. It's kind of the rise and fall of a band. And Tom Hanks, write this down. Tom Hanks plays their manager. So he's not in the movie a ton. But
say it again.
It's called That Thing You Do. Oh, how about this Tom Hanks movie? Catch Me If You Can. So good.
He's been in too many.
He's been in so many.
That Thing You Do.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like in Catch Me If You Can when he's like in the car.
Yeah.
And he's like, knock, knock.
Who is it?
He goes, go fuck yourself.
Okay. Isn't Leo in that too?
Oh yeah, Leo's. I mean,
wait, the way you said that. I mean, he's on top of his game right now.
He's on top of his game. Have you seen that movie too?
Have you seen the Killers of the Flower Moon?
No. Is it good?
I just bought it. I just watched it the other night. Yeah.
Because why is it getting so much, like, aren't people saying that it's not that great?
I liked it. It's just long.
With Robert De Niro?
Yeah.
Okay. It is?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I liked it.
Okay. All right. So you're saying Leo's on top of his game.
He's a good
right now.
His acting's real good in that.
Yeah, he's really fucking good.
He's got, like, the Southern thing going on. Okay. Yeah. He's really good.
He's just fantastic. Yeah. Everything he does. Yeah. Everything he does. But Catch Me If You Can... That's a movie I can watch over and over and over again. Mm-hmm, it is so fun. I love a con artist. I love a con artist
movie.
Why is
that?
I don't know. I don't know. I think it is just so awesome how you can honestly convince anybody of anything if you are confident enough. Yeah. See, I don't know. Inventing Anna. Yeah. About what's her name? Anna. I know we've all forgotten already, but yeah, the New York con lady, British kind of accent. What's her name? But that was a good one because I don't know. It's so crazy to me that you can really convince people to do just about anything for you,
right?
You know, if you just
mind control or something. Or
no, I honestly just think it's confidence because people. Naturally people want to believe other people and they want to believe that they're being told the truth.
Yeah.
They just do.
Yeah.
I mean, look at politicians. That's how politicians get elected and just in general.
And they're the biggest con artists,
you know, but people so badly want to believe, you know, that people are good and what they're telling them is true.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm obsessed with, like, psychology and criminal psychology.
Absolutely.
And interrogations, how these people, like, it's such a mind game.
Oh, yeah.
The way they try to trick the police.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and then
how the police trick them.
Oh, they do some mind games.
They sure do.
There's different techniques they use.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's incredible.
Time flew by.
Is it? What time is it?
It's already an hour has passed.
Oh my God, are you serious?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's gnarly.
So, when Ryan and I and you, we got to do another, like, a vlog or something.
Oh, my God. I would love that. Oh,
well,
yeah.
We could go somewhere.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I'm so down. Yeah.
I want to do some paranormal. Maybe we could go to an alien convention.
Yeah.
Maybe Chelsea could film it or something.
Oh, yeah. Chelsea, I'm down for any and all of that. And
like
just a final word on Ryan just being the fucking best.
Yeah,
he is one of the genuinely kindest people. He's pure.
Mm-hmm.
He's always, like, believed in me and supported me and just been, like, a cheerleader. And he's mysterious, but also it's like you feel close to him and far at the same time, if that makes sense. Like,
he's genuine. Yeah.
And I don't know every detail about him, but I know who he is as
a
human being.
Yeah.
And I love him.
You know? Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Support Ryan's PayPal. We're trying to get him a teardrop camper RV.
Oh,
so
what?
Yeah,
he's really going off the grid.
He's really going off the grid. So definitely I'll have that on this episode too. His PayPal, like, you know, do what you can, you know, because I don't want him to, you know, I want him to be secure and safe.
Yeah, 1,000%.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
A little teardrop. You camper.
He needs all the
supplies. Yeah,
because
he could live. He could survive. He's a survivalist.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
He just, you know, I'd feel better if he had, like,
a real roof
where, you know.
Okay, yeah.
Because
I watched your guys' vlog, but I didn't watch the episode
yet.
Yeah,
well, we're trying to, you know, he's going to be doing, like, a bi-monthly where, you know, he, like, see all those cardboards on the edge? Like, he's going to get into, you know, he does research with, you know, he's a deep thinker.
Yeah, oh, I know.
So, yeah, so he's going to go deep into some subject matters. Can we, since we're at the tail end of this, can we plug your Instagram,
and then
maybe plug your time slot with K-Rock.
Totally, yes.
And all that.
All right, so you can follow me at Megan Holiday, mm-hmm. and that's M-E-G-A-N, spelled the regular way, and Holiday with one L,
mm-hmm.
the old-fashioned way. You can hear me on K-Rock from every day from 2 to 6 p.m. If you're in the Bay Area, you can hear me on Live 105 from noon to 6 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
And then if you're in Sacramento, you can mm-hmm. also hear me up there.
Do you guys play Blink 182?
Oh, yeah. We play the shit out of Blink 182.
All right.
Yeah, Tone it down.
Tone it down a little bit, though.
On
Tom, shame on you.
No, I've reached out to you. Oh, did you?
I went to high school with
you. You did?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That makes sense, though.
Can I show you the yearbook real quick?
Yeah.
Okay. Just give me.
Okay. What? Hold on. Can I film this? I need to get this in here. Oh my god, I'm
Tom, I'm just kidding. Tom, I love you.
Have you talked to him recently?
No, I've been trying to get him.
He's hard to wrangle. I've interviewed him a couple times.
So Tom, look. Tom DeLonge. Comedian.
Where is he? That's him?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And then he was also homecoming king.
Was he really?
Yeah.
What?
All the kids everyone loved Tom.
I mean, what's not to love about Tom DeLonge?
Hold up, let me see.
And
here.
Tom has really done a lot for the alien community, correct?
You wanna see his yearbook picture?
I would love to.
Okay, there's me. Alright. And then let's get to Tom.
So cute.
Let me get to Tom. He's 8. Hold up. Let's get in here.
Is your name Steve or Steven?
It doesn't matter.
Okay, it doesn't matter. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. No one. Who's counting?
Try to find him.
Okay.
We're getting close.
We're getting close. We're in the D's.
Where is he? He's got to be around here.
Oh my god. Shut up right now. That is so epic. I love this.
Isn't that crazy?
I love my life.
Tom,
right
holler
now.
At me, man. We'll do a 30 minute interview, dude.
Tom, you would love
come
this
on,
show.
Come on, dude. Come on, man.
You would love this show.
We went to high school.
Yeah.
Come on, dude.
Were you friends at all in high school?
He was friends with everybody. We could do a whole, how about next time for your part 3?
Okay.
We'll just talk about Tom
DeLonge.
Yeah.
I'm totally down.
He was probably one of the first skateboarders on, at Poway.
Yep.
I remember he could kickflip back then.
Mm-hmm.
And man, and shout out to my homie Rich Salo, because I'm like, how do I get a hold of Tom? And then I wrestled with Rich. He was on the wrestling team with me, and he was close with Tom. And I had a call to the
Stars Academy.
Yeah. And then I had to talk to the receptionist. I'm like, I had to convince this lady. I'm like, I went to high school with them, please.
Uh-huh.
I just want, I have a podcast. And Tom.
It's tough. I'll see what I can do for you. My really good friend from high school manages Tom. But there were even times when I tried to get Tom on my podcast, and my buddy was like, I don't know. So you never know. So I'll see what I can do.
30-minute interview.
30 minutes.
You don't have to even cut. Then we'll skateboard. We'll hit up Nicholas. We'll go to the. Tom, please.
I feel like he'd enjoy coming and seeing his yearbook.
You think so?
I think he'd love it. Yeah.
Did he sign it?
Did he? I hope
well,
he
that's
did.
For part 3.
Okay, part 3.
Hey, thanks for coming.
This was so fun.
Go to patreon.com/stevieweeby to help support the platform, and everything else would be in the description of the YouTube channel. Peace.
Peace and love.
Hiding in the crevices, in the coral premises, in my Neverland like Peter Pan, checking messages.
I feel like a king.
It's the way that you grow when you let them go on the edge of plateaus when they push you. Millisecond part of deck and shuffle with the cards. I'm a vortice to heart, like a monk upon the ledge, and I'm trying to do my part before departing from the edge. A shark is at a park, is there remarks about my art aware? Anything we say or do will be demolished like a
machine elf is talking about the details in the fractal landscape, tempting me to mandate. If I choose to do that, it can be a mandate. Line in my comb and I'm an old man.